Do you know what the significance of this song is? Go ahead, Joshua.
I do not.
Now, Joshua,
will you fill us in, Brad?
Huh?
I said, will you fill us in, Brad?
Yes. Joshua's running the show today. My name is Brad Porter on this Sports Saturday, and it's Joshua Byers, by the way. And I haven't done a Sports Saturday show in a while, so this is it's odd, and the timing is weird, 11 to 2, but I'll take it. So this is A-ha's Take Me On, which on this date in 1985 hit number one on the Billboard charts. And it's one of the greatest videos of all time. You can Google search it later, YouTube it, or whatever. A-ha, Take On Me. Fantastic video. Ahead of its time. Way far ahead of its time. I'd put it in my top five all time. Anyway, great song. That's how we open the show. Got a great song for you from 1985. That's how we roll. Got some good stuff lined up for you today. Big day of college football. And we got the NFL to talk about with the Chiefs. Speaking of an odd schedule, having the Thursday game. And then no game this week. And then waiting for the Packers and another Sunday night game. So we got Patrick Mahomes to talk about and all that. So we got all kinds of stuff. Let me set the schedule for you today. We have some great guests lined up for you. Coming up at 11:25, our good friend David Leske from Baseball Prospectus is going to join us. He also does some writing for Royals Review. We'll talk about, we got many things to talk about with David. Probably primary topic number one for Royals fans, who's the next manager going to be? Who would be the top picks? Who's the best fit? It's not always about who's the best manager available, who you can go get. Who's the best fit for what the Royals are trying to do now? You got a couple of veterans, you know, Whit Merrifield, Danny Duffy, Salvador Perez. Still don't know about Alex Gordon. And then you got all the young guys, Aldoberto Mondesi, on and on and on, Hunter Dozier. Who's the right manager to guide the team through this next era, through this rebuild? Even though Dayton Moore does not like to call it a rebuild, does not like to tank. But you got to find the right guy. Ned Yost was the right guy at the right time. Now, let's all be honest with ourselves here, and I'm not going to rant on this right now because David's going to join us here in about 20 minutes. Let's be honest about this. When Ned Yost was hired, was anybody in Kansas City standing on their head or, you know, ready to run out to the front of the parade in the streets? No. Maybe there were a few, but he had just been fired by the Milwaukee Brewers in the middle of a pennant race in September. Dale Swain took over, who's now on the Royal staff, who was with Ned Yost for the last few years, which is odd that the guy that took your job joined you later, but that's okay. But nobody thought Ned Yost was going to be the guy. At least nobody that I know of. I haven't seen any evidence of that. But it worked out. He likes young players. He knows how to manage a clubhouse. Criticize all the moves he made early on. Criticize, you know, his lineups. Everything that he did. Having Escobar hit every single night when he was hitting, you know, 206. Alcides Escobar. Criticize all that. But eventually, he got the pieces to work. So what's the next good fit for the Royals? Does it have to be a perfect fit right away? I don't think so. Ned Yost wasn't perfect right away. Got to figure your way into it. Is it Mike Matheny? Is it Pedro Grifol? Is it somebody else? I got a list. So David Leske is going to join us at 11:25. We'll also talk some World Series action. The Yankees last night able to get themselves a glimmer of hope in the ALCS against the Houston Astros. Used the home run to get some runs early in the game and then locked it down the rest of the way. All of a sudden, I'm drawing a blank on who was starting for the Yankees last night. It's that kid they call the Big Oak. Paxton?
James?
Yeah. That kid was nails. After five innings, he was at 97 pitches, and he had locked it down. I was like, okay, that's probably enough. Nope. Goes out for the six, gets a visit from manager Aaron Boone, sticks him in there, leaves him in there. It's good stuff. Now, Danny Klinkscale, who just left the studio, I hope he's still listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Huge Astros fan. I think that was early on in life he adopted the Astros. I like the Astros. I think they're a fun team to watch. Yankees are boring. Yankees are the same team they've been for 25 years. They're methodical and boring, which is fine. They win a lot of freaking games playing that way. But they're methodical. There's nothing exciting about that team. Brett Gardner, kind of an ass. I mean, I like Gleyber Torres and some of their younger guys, but they're just, you know, Aaron Judge doesn't have much of a personality. Giancarlo Stanton hasn't played that much. I just think the Astros are a fun team. Verlander got smacked around in the first couple innings last night. And then tonight, I'll have to discuss the strategy with David Leske here, but both teams are going with the bullpen strategy tonight. Nobody's throwing out a starter. Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. This is where we are. Two teams, one fighting for the life of their season. The Yankees, they're going bullpen. Astros, going bullpen. In fact, the Astros are so bold, they said that Gerrit Cole is not even an option tonight. Okay. See how it works. All right, so David Leske at 11:25 will cover all that territory. At noon, Nick Jacobs from 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast 4th and 1 with Todd Palmer will join us to talk Chiefs football. Patrick Mahomes being out a minimum of 3 weeks. I'm not going to sit here and play medical expert, all right? I've seen that too much on Twitter and on the national TV shows and talk shows. Well, I think it'll be 4 to 6. I think it'll be 5 to 7. I think it'll be just 3. I don't know. I just know what I've been told. Probably a minimum of 3 weeks. So you're going to get Matt Moore. You're going to have to sign another quarterback. That's got to happen. Because your current backup is on the practice squad. And God forbid that happens next week against the Packers, where you have to get down to that. They're going to have to sign somebody, plain and simple. Or trade for somebody, plain and simple. They got stuff they got to do. They got to figure out how they're going to run the offense. They know Matt Moore is not going to do the same things as Patrick Mahomes. That is painfully obvious. Not breaking any news. No government secrets released right there. But they're going to have to figure it out. Here's the thing about Matt Moore. I was curious Thursday night when he came into the game and he threw that 57-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, which is about, 15 to 20 yards in the air, and the rest was Tyreek Hill. It was a great pass, by the way. He did what they call throwing it in the bucket, over the top of the defensive back, only to where Tyreek Hill could get it. You know the last time Matt Moore threw a touchdown pass in the National Football League? It was November 2017, and it was against the New England Patriots. Matt Moore was playing for the Dolphins at the time. Now he threw two interceptions in that game, and the Dolphins were not blown out, but they were not close in that game. But that was the last time Matt Moore had thrown a touchdown pass. I'm happy for him. Seems like a great guy. Watched him on Hard Knocks with the Dolphins a few years ago. I felt bad for him because he had to deal with Joe Philbin as his head coach. You could see him, you could almost hear his eyes rolling back in his head at the things that Joe Philbin was telling the team. I think Matt Moore's a good dude. I'll root for him. Down with that. So we'll talk with Nick Jacobs about that at noon, all things Chiefs. At 1 o'clock, our good friend Kevin Romery is going to join us. Kevin is a sports anchor with Midco Sports at Lawrence, Kansas. We'll talk about KU playing Texas tonight. We'll talk a little K-State, a little Mizzou, a little Chiefs. He covers it all. He covers everything. So we'll talk about that. Look, KU is not must-see TV, right? We'd all agree with that. But if you're a KU fan and you want to see your team, or it's your job like me, you want to watch the game, that game tonight is on the Longhorn Network. The freaking Longhorn Network. This is an October game. A game that matters a lot for Texas. And it matters for KU. They got a new offensive coordinator. Just promoted a couple weeks ago. They got a coach in his first year who's won a national championship, still trying to establish his team. You'd like to be able to watch that game, right? Show of hands, how many people have the Longhorn Network on either your cable, your satellite, your streaming service, your Yoku, your Sling, whatever you got? How many people have access to the Longhorn Network? Joshua, you got it?
No, and it's Roku, not Yoku.
What did I say?
You said Yoku.
I was probably trying to say YouTube and Roku at the same time. So Roku,
because
I have a Roku, so I should know that when the menu pops up. Ding, ding, ding.
No,
I don't have it.
Don't think I have the Longhorn Network? I don't know if I'd be tuning into that game tonight. I don't know if I can say that, but
I'm just be curious. I was at the game. I was working at a different TV station at the time when KU beat Texas at home. Was it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and they carried the goalposts out of the stadium? That was pretty exciting. You never know. Texas coming off a brutal defeat in the Red River rivalry to Oklahoma. I'd like to be able to watch that game. And I know the KU official Twitter account, the Athletics Twitter account, sent out instructions for how you could get the game through one of your video game boxes. It sounded complicated, but they said sign up for it and you can cancel it 5 days later. Should I have to do that? What the hell am I paying for with my cable bill? Seriously. I got to jump through those hoops. I got to go through my video game and sign up on View or whatever the heck it's called and then cancel it 5 days later. That's what the Big 12 is asking people to do who want to watch that game. There's plenty of Texas fans who live in Kansas City. Can't watch it. Unless you got the special hookup. Unless you sign up for that 5-day free trial with the video game View system. Whatever it is. What am I paying for? I ask myself this 3 times a week when I'm trying to find a game on cable. The hell am I paying for? Of course, you call customer service. They have no idea what you're talking about.
If it makes you feel better, Brad, you can listen to the game right here on Sports Radio 810.
Right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. There you go, Joshua. See, it's raining outside, it's cloudy, and Joshua, you bring in a little bit of sunlight. That's what we're looking for here. So you can listen to it here live, Sports Radio 810 WHB. By the way, since some of the big games have kicked off today in college football, let me just roll through the scoreboard real quick. Of course, my screen picks the perfect time to freeze up. Good gravy. So I know Clemson is underway. So here you go. Let me just run through the scoreboard real quick. West Virginia is at Oklahoma. That game has already started. And Oklahoma laying 33 points in that game. I get it. It's a big number. I don't gamble. But if I did, I would just never touch a game like that. Just wouldn't. I don't know if Oklahoma's motivated for that or not. That's a big game. Clemson and Louisville are underway. That game is at Louisville. Wisconsin at Illinois. Wisconsin already up 7-0 early in the first quarter, and Wisconsin is a 31-point favorite in that game. Illinois is awful. God, I watched some Big Ten football. I'm a fan of Iowa. Illinois is unwatchable. That might be the game I take a little chance on. How about this for you from the SEC? Look, it's first quarter, okay? I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. Florida, number 9, at South Carolina. South Carolina had that big upset over Georgia. South Carolina up 7-0. I'm pulling for it. I pull for the upset. Not a South Carolina fan, but I'll sign up for that. Let's do that. Number 11, Auburn at Arkansas. Auburn up 7-0. Arkansas is awful. Good Lord. That's who Missouri ends their season against, and if they have a chance to win the SEC East, lock it in. Purdue at Iowa. Iowa number 23. Iowa's up 3-0. And let me tell you something, folks. I was looking at the spread of this game. Iowa's laying 17.5. Has anybody watched Iowa this season? They're lucky if they score 13 points in a game. Much less laying 17.5. Good gravy. I mean, Vegas must have the good information on that, but I've watched enough Iowa football to where I'm not touching that. Iowa doesn't score. That's their offense. Field goals. Occasionally a touchdown. We'll throw that in just for kicks. Once a game, maybe we'll score a touchdown. That's Iowa football. So there's your top 25. And let me check the Big 12 to see if... let's see. Iowa State and Texas underway. No score. That's fine. TCU and K-State kick off at 1:30. Baylor and Oklahoma State at 3 o'clock, and then KU at Texas, the nightcap at 6. So there's your college football update. All right, just a few minutes left before we bring in David Leske. So the big story this week is Patrick Mahomes. Now, have you ever seen anybody in person dislocate their knee? Regardless of sport. Football, basketball, volleyball, soccer, baseball, softball, lacrosse, rugby, whatever. I've seen it one time in my life. And that was probably 30 years ago. And I still almost have to stop myself from vomiting thinking about it. It's disgusting when you see it. What did Travis Kelce say after the game? Oh, God, that was a mess. I didn't even know what I was looking at. It's a disgusting injury. I cannot believe. Well, first of all, I can believe. So the trainers, the doctor, whoever was out there, slid his kneecap back into place. That's not unusual. That's a normal thing. My wife is a nurse. She's done many knee surgeries and or been a part of knee surgeries and every kind of surgery. And I said, is that normal for, you know, a doctor or trainer to slide the kneecap back into place? Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that's what you do. And then the next day, it's going to swell like a balloon. So that part, I didn't think was all that unusual. But for a guy to walk off the field after that, dislocating your knee, and then he's walking around the locker room after the game, cheering people up. Hey, let's go. We got to win. And good on you, Patrick Mahomes. The training staff. Glad it wasn't more serious. So where we're sitting is, the experts are saying a minimum of 3 weeks. And I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to speculate beyond that. I'm not smart enough. If I had taken the exams for medical school, what are they called, MCATs? That's the one thing I'm smart enough to know, only because it was in the movie Meet the Parents. Ben Stiller took the MCATs. That's my level of knowledge. That's my medical knowledge. I know the test is called the MCATs. So if I were to speculate beyond that, it would be beyond embarrassing. So I'm not going to do that. But the Chiefs now got to find a guy. They got to go out and sign a guy. So I was clicking around last night, this morning, looking for, you know, free agent quarterbacks or trade possibilities. Colin Kaepernick's name always comes up. That ain't, I'm just 99.9% sure that ain't going to happen. I'm leaving that 0.1% in case it does. You got a CYA, right? Cover your ass. So you got to look beyond that if you're looking at possibilities. One of the names that popped into my head, and Josh Briscoe and I were talking about this on the postgame show late Sunday night. We were on until almost 1 in the morning. One of the names that popped up was Jay Cutler. Would you consider bringing in a Jay Cutler for a few weeks? Hell no. Got a cannon for an arm, but he's never been exactly, doesn't exactly have a winning tradition. But if you need a guy, if you desperately need a guy, I suppose. Wouldn't exactly light my world on fire, but okay. So then I go to SI.com, which basically laid off almost their entire writing staff in the last 2 weeks. But apparently they're still churning out content. It's called clickbait now. SI is not going to do any more long-form, in-depth, solid pieces like they used to. They're just not. They got bought out by a corporation that goes in and decimates websites and newspapers. A little personal commentary there. I know what that's about. So the content that Sports Illustrated, and this looks so slapped together, it's almost embarrassing, but I'll give it a whirl and throw it out. And when Nick Jacobs joins us at noon, he can tell us how bad it is. So SportsIllustrated.com, short-term plan for Patrick Mahomes and what to do with a backup quarterback. Short-term plan, trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Easy for me to say. Fitzmagic. Seriously? Ryan Fitzpatrick? That's the guy that's going to get you through? I mean, Matt Moore's been here since the... He got here towards the end of preseason, right? Because that's when Chad Henne got hurt. Matt Moore was coaching high school football through training camp and almost the entire preseason. He was done. He was done playing football. Kind of like Nick Foles. I'm not playing anymore. Andy Reid calls. We need a guy. You want to come? Want to play? You want to back up Patrick Mahomes? Sure. Make $500,000, maybe $1 million. I don't know what Matt Moore's making. Don't really care. Ryan Fitzpatrick? Short-term plan? I mean, the Dolphins have already decided he's better than Josh Rosen at this point. Of course, the Dolphins are a trash organization. Good Lord, fans in South Beach. I feel for you. Not really, but I do, kind of. Long-term plan. Trade for Marcus Mariota? What? Marcus Mariota, maybe I'm wrong, but since he's gotten to he was a great college quarterback, all right, at Oregon. Fantastic. He was a blast to watch. The NFL, he's played okay at times. He beat the Chiefs a couple years ago in the playoffs. Of course, he had that pass that bounced off the backside of somebody, and then he caught it and ran it in for a touchdown. Totally random sequence of events. Long-term plan, Marcus Mariota. And the writer of the article, Connor Orr, who I'm sure is a good dude. I'm just not liking this. I would like to see Reed get a shot at an athletic, versatile talent like Mariota. The Titans may not want to signal an end to their season at 2-4, but they may also want to give Ryan Tannehill some breathing room. Give Ryan Tannehill some breathing room? Okay. You know how much money is left on Mariota's fifth-year option? Almost $21 million. $21 million. I don't even know if I can take this article seriously. That's what I found when I was kicking around. Again, this is clickbait. SportsIllustrated.com is a website that's dying on the vine because they laid off everybody who was any good. Maybe they kept a couple of people, but that's all right. All right, we're coming up on a timeout here. Again, resetting the show. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be joined by David Leske from Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. We'll talk about who the next Royals manager might be, as well as we'll talk some ALCS and World Series. At noon, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast 4th and 1, will join us and talk about Chiefs quarterbacks, who the Chiefs might trade for or sign out of free agency, and what the next 3 weeks or more could look like without Patrick Mahomes. So we'll do that at noon. And then at 1 o'clock, Kevin Romery will join us. Kevin, anchor at Midco Sports in Lawrence, Kansas. We'll talk college football with KU in the Texas game tonight. And we'll talk Chiefs with him as well because he covers the Chiefs. So all that still to come. We got plenty going on here. Joshua Byers is running the show. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Joshua, who is this? This is what I always do with people who work on the weekends. If I don't know the music, I just got to ask you, who is this?
It's Blink-182, and it's just in the generic rock folder, so I haven't scoured the whole maestro yet. So
This is a very Blink-182 style of song. I like Blink-182.
It's nice.
No problem with that. They're kind of fun. It's kind of fun. That's a good beat. It's a good tune. Makes you feel good on a cloudy, overcast day. By the way, for the folks who were out running the Kansas City Marathon this morning, or who might still be running, good for you. I mean, it was pouring this morning. And that started at, I believe, 8 a.m. My whole neighborhood was blocked in by it. I had to drive down a few side streets, and then I had to get waved through to when there were no runners. My whole neighborhood was blocked in. You think they'd leave you an escape route somewhere, but I looked at the map this morning. I'm like, oh, my God, I might not be getting to work today. No problem. It's a great event. It's a great marathon, KC Marathon. So if you're out running this morning or you finished up, which would be, Jesus, you'd be 2.5 hours. No, I'm not sure anybody finished with that number. But did you see that guy last week who did it in under 2 hours? First guy ever. Unbelievable. So, good stuff. It looks like the clouds are breaking up right now. It looks like it might be turn into a nice day today. All right. What's that? Oh, you lost our guest? David Leske is supposed to be joining us right now, and he just, right before I went to him, he dropped off the line. So, we'll get David back dialed up here. But if you're out running the marathon, good for you. It's never been something I've been motivated to do. I've liked running during my adult life, but I'm more of a 5K, 3.1 miles kind of guy. And most of the runs, most of the 5Ks in Kansas City are, when you get to the finish line, they have pizza and some beers. That's my kind of run. Marathon, not for me. I'm sorry. And plus, I know enough people whose bodies have been crippled after running marathons, so no motivation to do a marathon. All right, David Lesky joins us on the line now from Baseball Prospectus. David, have you ever been motivated to run a marathon?
No, I have not. I was trying to think of something maybe clever and funny to say there, but the answer is just a pretty straight no. So, yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm a 5K guy. I like the trolley run. I like the Komen run. I've never done Hospital Hill because I've seen people after they've run up the hill, and it's just...
It's ugly. That's not something you want people to see you as. That's for sure.
And at my age, it's not something I care to attempt. But you know what? For people motivated to do a marathon or a half marathon or whatever, good for you. I mean, it's great. It's just my body would not hold up. I could train for 2 years and my body would just completely collapse. No, don't.
I could probably run a marathon if you gave me, I don't know what, 3 days? And let me stop on the way, have some food. I mean, I guess, you know, I'd probably walk 26.2 miles over the course of a week.
Yeah.
So that's probably about right, yeah.
Yeah, it's about my pace over the course of a week. But God love all the people who are out there doing it. And by the way, the sports commission and everybody that organizes it, all the volunteers do a great job. So just having a little fun, it's just not something I can do. All right, David, let me get into this first. I'm going to get to the Royals manager situation in a second, but... when I was watching the ALCS last night, Yankees and Astros, it wasn't the greatest game in the world. I mean, it's good pitching, other than Verlander's first two innings. That was good stuff. But then after the game, it's like, okay, Yankees are back in the series. Astros lead 3-2 going back home to Houston, which I would have to look back. I don't know the last time a Game 6 has been played in another city with no day off.
It's probably been a while.
It's probably been a while. I'm not a big fan of that, but that's okay. So after the game, both managers come out and say, this is going to be a bullpen game, game six. We're not going out with a regular starter because for the Astros to do it would put Gerrit Cole on short rest. For the Yankees to do it would put Luis Severino on short rest. I suppose I kind of get it a little bit, but if you're the Yankees, I mean, this is the season. How confident are you that the Yankees can cobble together a, quote, bullpen game?
Yeah, I mean, for the Astros, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I get it. Yep.
They're up 3-2. They have a game to play with, and they've got, like, the best pitcher in the sport right now for Game 7. So, at home. Okay, so I buy that. The Yankees, you're right. I mean, Severino's coming off an injury, and so that plays into it. They don't really have another starter right now other than Tanaka and Paxton, and they obviously wouldn't be available to go. So I see the issue. At the same time, I mean, gosh, how do you get yourself in that situation? You know, you're the New York Yankees, and you chose to not do anything at the trade deadline because this is where it's showing. Today is exactly where it's showing, is that they haven't done anything, and because of that, they've got to run a bullpen day out when they're down 3-2 in the ALCS. On the road. It's silly.
It's stunning to me. I mean, this is the richest team in American sports. Well, maybe the Cowboys are. I'd have to look at the exact numbers. But certainly the richest team in Major League Baseball. And they're facing an elimination game with no starting pitcher. And, you know, I was reading some things earlier in the week about, well, the Yankees were smart to not trade for Marcus Stroman from the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays wanted Gleyber Torres. Well, I think they could have worked out something else, but
they
were saying, well, it was smart not to do that. I'm like, okay, here you go. Season's on the line. You got no starter. And personally, I revel in it a little bit because I can't stand the Yankees. So, but that's just amazing that the richest team in the sport does not have a starter for Game 6 down 3-2.
Well, it shows one of the biggest issues in baseball today, I think, in that teams are almost hesitant to go for it because it might lead to an issue 3 years down the road. And, you know, I look at the 2015 Royals, and there's a lot of talk, oh, they mortgaged the future for the World Series. It was worth it. You know, it was absolutely worth it, yes.
Yep, absolutely.
But They didn't mortgage the future either. I mean, the issue with the Royals is that they couldn't develop anybody over the last
right.
half decade to decade almost. Because, I mean, really, who do they trade? They traded Sean Manaea. He would be great to have. Is
sure.
he going to make this turn the Royals from 59 wins to 89 wins? No.
No.
They didn't trade that much away to win a World Series.
And all the guys they traded to the Reds, Brandon Finnegan, he's going to be a minor leaguer. The left-hander.
Cody Reed has been up and down
yeah.
a little bit. He could still be okay. And John Lamb has been in and out of baseball. So
yep.
But the point is, the Royals went for it. And they won. And, you know, look at the other team in the World Series right now, the Nationals. Yeah, they lost Bryce Harper, but they pretty much sat out the Bryce Harper bidding once it got too high for them, because they didn't need Bryce Harper, and they instead of not spending the money at all, they went and reinvested it. They went out and they got Patrick Corbin. Did they win the NLCS without Patrick Corbin? I mean, I know they swept the series. I know it was super easy for them, but Patrick Corbin was huge. And maybe they don't even get to the playoffs without Patrick Corbin. So they went out and they spent money. It's a crazy phenomenon.
And they got three outfielders for less than what it would cost to have Harper.
Right, and it's really easy to say, oh, they made the right decision when you have Juan Soto sitting on your roster.
Right,
and so
yeah.
That helps. But also, they developed him and they spent the money on him internationally, and so they spent the money there. And the point is, and also look across the diamond from the Yankees. They had Dallas Keuchel a couple years ago, and
right.
they went out and they traded for Justin Verlander, and then they traded for Garrett Cole, and then they traded for Zach Greinke. The Astros have never taken their foot off the gas in getting players to help them, and look where they are. They won a World Series 2 years ago. I have no reason to pick the Yankees to get there this year, so the Astros are probably going to get there again this year, and they have a good shot to win on. That's going to be a fantastic World Series if it is Astros and Nats, pitching-wise at least. But you know, the Yankees, they really bid it there. I mean,
right.
They have to do something at the deadline, and they did nothing. And look, it may work out for them. They may win the last two games. They may be the first team to beat Garrett Cole in 7 months or whatever it is. But I don't think they will. And they're going to pay for it. And I think it's a good lesson to learn. And like you say, I'm not upset about it. So
right.
It doesn't bother me one bit that they're learning that lesson. But it's just I can't. I didn't understand it at the time, and it really makes no sense now because it's rearing its ugly head.
Well, there's a guy on Twitter. Is it Baseball B Smile who posts all those videos?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, I think it is, and it's a great Twitter follow, Baseball B Smile, and it's usually old videos. And for the last 2 weeks, it's been nonstop Reggie Jackson and Chris Chambliss homering against the Royals, and I'm like, all right, give me a break already.
That's when you hit the block button, Brad.
No.
Button.
No, he seems like a good dude, so I'll keep following it.
So for
the Astros, they're also in the same, well, not exactly the same, but a similar situation in that they're going bullpen tonight, which is and neither team is speaking to who's going to be the starter, because I imagine both teams on their charter flights last night were going through, you know, 1,000 different scenarios. So I don't know what Houston's going to roll out tonight.
Yeah, they're in a little different situation, like we said, because they're up 3-2 and they're at home and they've got Garrett Cole as insurance in Game 7 if need be. The issue with the Astros, they thought they had a guy who could start Game 4, and then Wade Miley just deteriorated down the stretch.
And he was great the first half of the season.
He was he was at the top of the leaderboards. He was everything they had hoped he would be for a really cheap deal, and it just he fell apart. and so then they were kind of left with Brad Peacock is a guy, but he had some injury issues, and so you know they went into the postseason thinking that their top three were so strong in Verlander, Greinke, and Cole that they could get by in a Game 4 bullpen game if need be. And the rainout actually helped to push it back. And if they had won last night, which I kind of expected them to do, I'm a little bit surprised.
So did I.
Going back to Houston, they would have never had to get to the bullpen probably until the World Series, the bullpen game. But they've got some big arms in that bullpen. I'm not Jose Urquidy or Q. I'm not even trying to say his name, which is it's weirdly spelled and all that. So you know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
he's got a power arm. Josh James has a power arm. They've got some guys who, and Peacock's on the roster, so he can give them a couple innings here too. They've got some really good arms in that bullpen. I know the Yankees have the touted bullpen, but it hasn't been great. Ottavino's been really rough this postseason, and he's going to have to get some outs, and they're going to need J.A. Happ to get a few innings. And I think the Astros have the edge because they've they've got more bullpen guys who are quality right now. And it's just, it's as simple as that. And, you know, they've done it a little bit in the past. The Yankees have too, somewhat, but because they've had to cobble together some pitching this season with all their rotation injuries. But, you know, it's a tough ask to go up against that Astros bullpen for nine innings, because they might be as good as, on any given day, for an inning or two, any of those guys are as good or better than Cole, even, which is crazy. But it's a tough bullpen to face, so I think that they have the edge, especially considering they're at home. It's going to be a tough sled for the Yankees tonight, I think.
All right, I'll tell you the one guy in Kansas City who's going to watch the game tonight but is going to absolutely hate the double bullpen approach for both teams. And you, I think you know who it is if you listen to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Okay, I don't want to sound stupid, so I'm just going to have you tell me.
Okay, he's a regular guest every week on the Border Patrol with Steven and Nate and Jake. Regular guest, former Royals pitcher.
Is it Mr. Boddicker?
Mike Boddicker is going to be steaming watching this game tonight. I guarantee it. And Mike, if you're listening out on the farm, you can call in if you want to. But I'm guessing Mike is not going to be happy about two teams going bullpen, straight bullpen tonight.
No, probably not. But, you know, the game advances, the game changes, leaves some people behind. It happens. It's no big deal.
All right. And Mike, that was David Leske saying that, not me, because I don't want to tangle with Mike if he could. You don't. I'll tell you what, David. I was born in Iowa and moved to Kansas City when I was six. One thing you don't do is mess with farmers, because there's
I'm well aware.
There's a thing called my in-laws,
I don't mess with them at all.
there's a thing called farmer strength, where, you know, they're not out there lifting weights, but they're lifting, you know, 80-pound bales and, you know, throwing around feed and all that.
It's okay, because Mike's gotten upset with me on the Border Patrol before, so it's no big deal.
Right. We're speaking with David Leske, Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. One more thing on the playoffs and the World Series, and then I'll get to Royals manager here. The Nationals, I think, are just an absolute blast to watch. I think it's fun. Max Scherzer, you know, being a Mizzou guy. Steven Strasburg, you know, 2012. We're going to yank him and not play him in the playoffs because we're concerned about the future, which looked insane at the time. And I don't know if that made the difference in them getting there in 2019, but it's a great story. And they're just fun to watch. And to me, there's two parts of this. One, they're fun to watch. I think that's great. And it's the nation's capital. They haven't had a World Series game since 1933. So it's a great storyline. The other part of it is Bryce Harper. Couldn't afford him. You know, got his $330 million from Philadelphia. And I'm not one of those people that takes any great, you know, satisfaction. Oh, Harper left, and now he's got to watch the Nationals. I take no joy in that. He took the most money. So what? I don't care. But what it does, it's another example of how baseball's about 25 guys on the roster at the time and probably 40, 45 guys during the season. It takes a lot of guys to win. And you look no further than the Angels. They gave Albert Pujols all the money in the world. They got Mike Trout, who's the best player on the planet. You look at Detroit and all the money they gave Miguel Cabrera. It takes more than one or two guys, David. And the Nationals are one of the many examples of it, along with the Royals of 14 and 15.
Yeah, I mean, the Nationals, that's just a good team. And the Astros, too. And they're just a really good all-around team. And the Nationals are a great example of that. Again, they spent the money, too. I mean, look at their rotation. Scherzer's has a $210 million deal.
Yep, that's big.
Strasburg's $175. Corbin's, what, $140, I think, $145, mm-hmm. somewhere in there. I mean, they've spent the money, and they're reaping the benefits of it. They've spent their money wisely. Like I said, they didn't need Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper makes teams better. If Bryce Harper was on the Nationals instead of Adam Eaton, they'd be even better than they are. Mm-hmm. But that said, they may not have Patrick Corbin, like I mentioned before. Or, you know, maybe they move Howie Kendrick. That's probably a bad example because he doesn't make much money. But maybe they have to move around some money and they don't have this player or that player or whoever it might be. And because they've built their roster the way they have a really solid offense. They have a heck of a rotation. Their bullpen is, no, it's not good, but it's been pretty good this postseason at the very least. And postseason lends itself to a team like the Nationals if they're willing to use their star starting pitchers in an unconventional way. It's how the Red Sox won last year. It's how the Nationals have gotten to the World Series. I mean, they've used Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin in the bullpen quite a bit this postseason.
A lot in the division series, yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, they they used like six pitchers in the division series, I think, something like that. Six or maybe it was maybe seven pitchers, and six of them threw all but a third of an inning or something like that. Crazy. Because they were just they went with their best guys, and the playoffs allow that, which is different than the regular season. But yeah, I mean it's just a good team. It's a really good team, and they'd be better if you have this team. And like I said, replace Eaton with Harper, put Harper in right field, they'd be even better. But you know they don't necessarily need Bryce Harper. Now, not to say they don't have a superstar. They've got Juan Soto, they've got Anthony Rendon, they've got the superstar starting. But they've really been able to cobble together a team. And look, they were 19-31 after 50 games, and here they are in the World Series waiting. It's reminiscent of the Royals in 2014, except for more star power, because the Royals, you know, they started off poorly in 2014. They were under 500 in July.
Everybody wanted to fire Ned.
Yeah, exactly. And then they almost lost the wild card game, as we all know. And then they were sitting and waiting to see if they were going to play the Giants or the Cardinals in the World Series. And it's kind of fun, probably, for Nationals fans. I know what it's like. And you're sitting there, and you're like, I never expected my team to be here, and here we are just sitting and waiting. You get to watch stress-free baseball for a few days before the stress comes back on Tuesday. So it's been a fun ride, and they're really a fun team to watch.
Well, my eighth grader, I coached him in baseball for a few seasons years ago, and one year our team, we were the Washington Nationals in the YMCA League. And all of a sudden, he goes digging through a stack of old hats the other day and comes out with his Nationals hat, which is about three sizes too small now, but it's kind of fun. All right, David, let me get to the Royals manager search here. We all know the usual suspects so far. Mike Matheny, who's in the Royals front office, former Cardinals manager, which I don't think anybody in Kansas City really likes that decision unless you work for the Royals. Pedro Grifol, who's been a bench coach, a hitting coach, a catching coach, just about everything for the Royals. Dale Sfame, who used to manage in Milwaukee. He took over in Milwaukee when Ned Yost got fired. And then I've thrown out a couple of other names, and I think they're long shots, but it's simply because I know them, David, okay? Dusty Wathan, who I went to high school with for a couple of years at Rockhurst before he went to Blue Springs. He managed at every level in the Phillies organization. He's now on the big league staff. Of course, his dad is Duke Wathan. And Tommy Hotovy, former Park Hill South star, pitched for the Red Sox, pitched for the Royals. Pitched for the Cubs. He's now the Cubs pitching coach, but with Joe Maddon being fired, maybe he's available. And then long shots. I mean, super, super long shots. Jamie Quirk, whose time is probably coming past, and Brian Pohlberg, who's much more suited to be a AAA manager. But you got an idea for your top pick, your personal choice to be the next manager of the Kansas City Royals, and it can be somebody who's not on this list.
Well, I mean, my personal choice, it's Pedro Grifol. I think that he makes the absolute most sense for this organization, this team, where they are right now. He's a guy, he knows the team. He's been on this big league staff since 2013. Players absolutely love him, so he's got that Ned vibe of that part going perfectly. He is, to me, the best conduit out there of analytics to understanding those analytics on the field. And you know, that's the biggest thing. There are all these guys out there who almost use analytics as if it's a dirty word. And when people talk about analytics, it's almost always like a pejorative, because it's always talked about as this boogeyman, basically. And that's not what it is. It's essentially, it's figuring out the best way to go about things.
Yeah.
And by it's proof that this works or doesn't work, whatever it might be. And I think there are a lot of people who are a little bit scared of analytics, and that's okay. But Pedro Grifol does a great job, and this is also what J.J. Piccolo is doing on the minor league level now, of conveying what it means. Because the players, I don't care if the players know or understand it.
It's a very useful tool.
It's a very useful tool, and Pedro Grifol does a phenomenal job of breaking it down and making it easy to understand and easy to utilize that tool to make yourself better. And I think he does a great job of that. And then he's a great communicator. It doesn't hurt that he's bilingual. I mean, look,
Right. Baseball
is, it might be 50-50 or 48-48 and then a few other languages for the other 4%. It's pretty close. There's a lot of Spanish and a lot of English. It's really good to know both. I mean,
a little Portuguese, a little Japanese, depending on who's on your roster.
Sure. There's some different dialects and all that, but Pedro Grifol does a nice job of being able to communicate with everybody easily, which is helpful. Not a prerequisite, but it's helpful. And I think he's been really vital in a lot of the Royals' success that they've had. I mean, they haven't had a lot of success over the last couple of years, but he's been huge with Jorge Soler. He's been huge you know, with a few other guys on this roster, just really helping understand things. I think he's a great fit. I think he's a perfect manager moving forward. I think that's his ultimate role. Look, other teams believe it too. He interviewed with the Giants this week. I think I saw some other team, I can't remember who it was, who had interest in him. I don't know if there was going to be an interview or not, but this is a guy, there's interest in him. And to me, I think, and this is not based on anything that I've heard, this is just kind of my gut, I think the Royals are hoping he gets another job so they don't have to say no to him and hire Matheny over him. I'm not saying Matheny's definitely going to get the job. I think if Saffold doesn't get hired elsewhere, he still has a shot for the Royals job, but I think they're hoping he takes the decision out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to me, he's the perfect guy, and he's as perfect as Matheny is imperfect to me, because I think Matheny is a disaster waiting to happen. His in-game decisions are poor. He handles clubhouses poorly. You hear these rumors that he plays favorites all the time. You know, it's everything you don't want in a manager in 2020 baseball, and I cannot understand why the Royals are so gung-ho about him. And look, it could very well be. Everybody, second chances change people. Ned Yost was a different manager in Kansas City than he was
in
Milwaukee.
Yes, absolutely.
So there is a very real chance that maybe everything we think about Matheny ends up being wrong. But the only reason it's wrong is because he's changed, and the only data we have to look at is what we have. And as a manager, yes, the record's great, but look, good managers are good because they have talent. Bad managers are bad not just because of not having talent. And I think Matheny has a chance to be, with a team that's less talented than what he had in St. Louis, he has a chance to put some really bad win totals up.
Right.
And I know that they've won 58 and 59 games the last couple of years, so how much worse can it get? Sure, but I think that would be a terrible choice, honestly.
I've read enough background on Matheny about having a clubhouse snitch and encouraging veteran players to harass and haze the younger players, and that's not how a Salvador Perez run clubhouse is going to work.
How do you hire somebody like that? That Sam McDowell story from a few weeks ago in the Star, which was phenomenal. If anybody hasn't read it, go find it about Danny Duffy. Just awesome work from Sam. How do you hire somebody who's basically been complicit in bullying when that story was out less than 2 months ago? It doesn't make sense to me. And hopefully they make the right decision. And I'm not saying it has to be Grifol. I just really think it has to not be Matheny.
Yes. Well, I'll leave you with one final plug. I mentioned Tommy Hotovy. When he was hired by the Cubs, he goes back with Theo Epstein to when he was drafted by the Red Sox years ago. He was a fourth-round pick. And when he was hired by the Cubs, he kind of revolutionized their pitching analytics in the front office and then became the pitching coach. So if you don't want him as a manager or as a pitching coach, which the Royals might want to investigate a new pitching coach, bring him into the front office, because he's a swell kid, David, is what I'm saying. And he's a really,
honestly, I think he's available, if he's out there, he would be my number one choice for pitching coach under new manager.
Yeah,
so I think that's a great if the Cubs don't retain him, whoever they end up hiring.
Yeah,
boy, I think some team's going to get a really good one.
Yeah, and I don't have any inside information or anything. I just think he's a super swell kid, and he's smart. I think he's got two or three degrees from Wichita State. It's just ridiculous.
It's stupid how smart he is. Actually,
he was like a valedictorian in high school, like a 4.7 GPA. Just ridiculous, but whatever.
No big deal. It's fine. It's easy.
All right, David, we'll sit tight for the next few weeks and wait for a Royals decision and watch the white smoke come from the chimney at Kauffman Stadium, and we'll figure out the next era of the Royals franchise. All right?
Hopefully soon.
All right, David. Well, if you're not running the marathon, at least get there on the trail. It looks like the clouds are breaking up. It might turn into a nice day today.
Looks nice so far, yeah.
All right, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus and Royals Review. David, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brad.
All right. Give David a follow on Twitter, too. He always posts good stuff. At DB Leske. That's DBLESKY. At DB Leske. DBLESKY. Good stuff. Talking Royals, and we'll keep our eye on the manager situation. All right. Quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one. Then at noon, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, will join us. We'll talk Chiefs football. What's going to happen over the next 3 weeks with no Patrick Mahomes? You're listening to Sports Saturday. Joshua Byers is running the show. My name is Brad Porter here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah.
Now, what a fantastic song. New sensation by INXS. Reason we're playing that, on this date in 1987, the album Kick was released, which produced four top 10 singles. New Sensation, which you're listening to right now. Devil Inside, fantastic. Need You Tonight, fantastic. Mystify, fantastic. Just a great album. Great band. Oh, man. I'm going to be YouTubing that those videos all day today. How much time we got, Joshua? We got to hit the break here soon, and then about a minute. Okay, coming up next at noon, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and co-host of the 4th and 1 podcast is going to join us. We'll talk Patrick Mahomes, the injury, length of time he could be out, and who the Chiefs might look at to either sign or trade for to back him up. A couple of quick scores from college football real quick. Clemson, early second quarter on the road, leading Louisville 10-0. Oklahoma at home, leading West Virginia 14-7. So West Virginia put a point on the board, put a touchdown on the board after falling behind 14-0. Wisconsin up on Illinois 10-0. Florida and South Carolina tied 10-10 early in the second quarter. Auburn over Arkansas 17-0 early second quarter. And I told you Iowa doesn't score a lot, right? They're now leading 6-0 over Purdue, laying 17.5. I told you, don't touch that 17.5 on Iowa, because Iowa doesn't score.
Stanley needs to calm down.
It's frustrating. He's got a decent arm, but, man, they just... Iowa's offense just... It's so 1991, but whatever. Seren Petro's rule, if it's not Kirk Ferentz, then who? Iowa fans, we know who we are. 7, 8, 9 wins. Once in a while, 10 wins. That's it. They're not big expectations, but that's all right. Quick timeout, and we come back. Nick Jacobs will join us. Chiefs football's next. Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB.